Can you guys hear me okay? Are you guys able to hear me? Okay, cool.
Hi, Russell.
Hey.
Can you hear me?
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. Can you hear me, Josh?
Yep, loud and clear.
Okay, cool.
Hi.
I guess this is it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay. John's going to join us in about 15. Or John's ready.
I'm ready.
Hey, Dad.
Hey there.
Shannon, long time no see. That's a good person.
Hey, how you going?
Good to see you.
Good to see you.
I thought Council was just receiving our whole, like, report. But,
oh, yeah, they probably did. That was just excerpt from the bottom.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's true. I think.
All right, so Shannon, you're gonna lead the charge today. Let me just make sure I'm recording. Russell, we got Josh online.
Hello, online people, can you hear us?
Yes.
Possibly.
Oh, you're right. You're right in the
chair.
I thought you were going to do this every time you talk.
I didn't want to talk.
No, we're just going to do the minutes and then launch on it to you. I don't think we have anyone from the public here. So.
All right. So I will call this meeting. You're recording, right?
I am, yeah.
Okay. So I will bring this meeting to order at 6:01. I am Shannon Knight. I am the vice chair filling in for Shannon Eilis, who is absent tonight. And we can just go right in and say who we are. Heather Jones.
Michael Burnett.
Josh Cheney.
Hey, Russell.
Russell, can you hear us? Hello.
Hey, Russell.
Hi. All right.
Oh. And then absent, I guess I'll just mention that Todd Jones, Council Liaison, is not here, nor Shannon Eilis and John Robinson. So just make a note of that.
Can you say who you are?
Oh, I'm Alina Schnarr, Business Support and Economic Development Coordinator.
John Williams, AUS Land.
Manager.
All right, so we have meeting minutes to approve.
Did you guys have a chance to read
them? Public, right?
Yeah, no one from the public is. Yeah.
All right. So yeah, meeting minutes. Did everyone read them really quick? Good to meet you. Someone want to make a motion to approve?
A motion to approve.
I second that.
All right, then motion in a second. And all in favor, just raise your hand and say aye.
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 Any opposed? And you have
swords on my knees, so
I'm not sure what's going on.
All right. We don't know what. Okay. Yeah.
Russell, can you hear us? Oh, you can.
Okay.
Okay.
You're just not participating in the minutes. He wasn't here, so.
I'm watching a football game.
Okay.
Is a football game on?
Okay, so we have John Williams here to discuss.
Wow. That's a small talk.
That's all we got. We don't have much on the agenda.
Yeah, well, that's great. And I don't have like some big fancy presentation. Some of you know, hi, Russell. Some of you haven't met before or seen in person, so it's good to meet you. So I'm John. I'm the city manager. I've been the city manager for a month. It's been an exciting month, super fun. Lots of crazy stuff happening. But
congrats on finally getting that.
Yeah, thank you, Russell. I appreciate that. My brother Russell's
long time coming.
I've been with the city of West Linden for 5 years, roughly 5.5 years, but I've been in public service in Oregon since the mid-90s. Local government, regional government. I worked for ODOT for a while, I worked for the city of Canby for a while, Metro. So I've got a lot of different kinds of experience, but the whole thing has sort of been building towards being a city manager. And I'm really excited to do it in my hometown. And many days I walk to work and I love it. I'm never going to leave and go to Hillsboro because it's so much more convenient. I guarantee that. Sort of. If the community will have me, this is the job that I want to have. So I don't have some big fancy presentation to, I really just mostly like to hear your questions. I will tell you that I can talk just briefly about sort of what I intend to bring to the job, which is positivity. I've been talking a lot about positivity. Alina certainly say it so much that I just didn't say it already. But I do think this is a great community. This is a great place to work. I want it to be a great place to work. I want it to be a place where our staff wants to come. I want it to be a place where citizens want to volunteer. I think we can do a lot better than we've done in some areas, especially over the last couple of years. COVID's been hard. We've had a hard time keeping everything moving through COVID. We've had a lot of staff leave. We've had a difficult time replacing staff. It's been hard for us to engage with the public in the ways that we'd like to. For those of you here in person, you walked in through our front door and saw hundreds of pumpkins that we're handing out to kids and families so they can carve it and we can have a big event in the park. And you should see the smiles on our parks and recreation staff's faces when they're working on it. Because it's what we want to do. So it's my goal to sort of bring back communication, bring back some more transparency to things here, start working with groups such as yourselves and many others to see what we can do together to get this community back on its feet after COVID. And EDC, I think, is particularly important to that. The business community took a hard, hard hit during the last couple of years, and I think we have a lot of work to do. We were really pleased to be able to get the City Council to support quite a big chunk of funding for economic development work from the American Rescue Plan dollars that I think you probably were familiar with some about.
I think I can give you guys copies.
And I think that gives us the opportunity to do projects on a scale like we have never had before. We've never even had, well, not recently, in recent years, we've never had a person devoted to economic development You guys know that for a couple of years I tried to get some of my attention, or Chris Meyer's attention, or Darren, or various people, and it hasn't been ideal. Well, now we have someone who's here doing this work, and we have money dedicated to it. This kind of money does not come along in West Lynn ever. Shannon was down with me at the Business Mixer on Main Street last night, and I had a great conversation with a bunch of business owners who were asking me, man, what does the city do with all that money that you get from new businesses? And I'm like, we don't get any money from business. Oregon is a state where you don't get money from businesses. So there's no direct connection between us filling retail spaces and having funds to do that work. And so this is a really unprecedented opportunity. There's a lot of cool things in here. It's my hope that you work with Alina on these projects to provide advice to us on how we should do them. You know, the city council sort of set up the categories. There's a lot of devil in the details in all of these. I see the facade grant program is on the agenda. That's great. Talk a little bit about that. Another program we've never done here in West Lynn. So it's cool. And you guys would kind of be at the heart of it, I think. And you've got a little land in the city manager's office now, because I know what this committee does, and I'm excited about it. There's a lot of other things going on. So I'm spending a lot of my time on police, learning about the police department, learning about the new oversight committee that the council wants to create. And I spent much of my afternoon writing code for a police oversight committee, which is something I haven't done before. But it's good work. It's work the community wants to do. I've been out talking to Public Works. I've been down at the library, getting to know them a little bit better. So it's all over the place. We have 140 employees doing a ton of different things, and it's really fun. And everywhere you go, it's people excited to be doing work in the community. Saw some of the sewer guys today, and they were having a ball, even though the work they were doing was not necessarily what all of us would want to do, but good work. We're good folks, and we're excited to be doing it. So that's kind of my little spiel. But that's all I really wanted to say, was to say hi, and I'm happy to come by and visit with you folks anytime. And I'm happy to take any questions you have now, or by email, or at future meetings. And I do appreciate the work that Michael's been doing on the TIF committee on Instagram. Help with a little bit of that discussion when you get there. So, anything else you wanted me to?
No, I think that another. There's maybe two pieces. One was just when I first started, there was discussion about sort of this larger survey that we were going to do with the POLCA. But I think we were curious, sort of as a group, sort of the direction with business support versus economic development, kind of moving forward, and whether we should take on some of those larger economic development things, and then whether we should advise you on questions that would go into that custom survey. And then I guess it sort of relates, but I'm also curious, like, the relationship between us and these projects. Would we be advised of when, you know, to create a task group, or you know, when, how do we know when that kind of comes into play?
Well, so there's a I love to hear you say we when you're with these committee members. That's great. But you're also we when you talk to me. So don't forget that. So let me start off. You mentioned the survey. The city did conduct we hired a consultant. The city council budgeted funds to do what's known as a community attitude survey. And some of you may have filled it out. Some of you may have gotten actually direct mail at your homes. We sent out a few hundred. They sent out a few hundred direct mailers to get a random sampling of West Lynn communities. It's a thing that a lot of towns do to get a statistically valid sampling of perception of what it's like to live in West Lynn, what they think of the city, what they think of the community attributes. I will say this with all love, we tend to hear from the same people over and over again, right? And I would say the number of people that we hear from frequently is less than 50, honestly. There's 27,000 residents in West Lynn, and what I wanted to do and why I brought that to council was to start working on hearing from broad cross-section of the community, make sure we weren't missing anything. So that survey that POLCO did, it's closed now, but it was We selected them because they do the exact same survey in hundreds of communities across the country. And the plus side of that is we can benchmark our results against other communities, both within Oregon and elsewhere, to understand, like, what does it mean? Sometimes if you do a survey, you're like, is that good? Then 75% of people love your parks, or is that not good? You don't know. So this is going to be a benchmark. So that's the plus side. The plus side was also that we didn't have to do a lot of work to figure out what the survey said, so that was good for me. The downside is it wasn't customizable at all. In order to benchmark, the questions have to be worded the exact same way, be asked in the same order, and all of that. So that survey is like a point in time. So we're going to look at that. We're going to get back in the habit, I think, of doing them maybe every other year or something like that. But the platform allows for customized surveys. And once people were allowed to sign up, give us their email addresses and say they wanted to get future surveys. And a few hundred people have done that already. So boom, we have an instant source where there's a web page. We can write a question. You can push it out to a few hundred people like that. Now you have to do it sort of thoughtfully so people don't get sick of your dumb questions. But we can do that. So if the EDC is interested in customized questions of the community having to do with business, we can do that. We'll be thoughtful and sort of space them out and do all that, but that's a tool that we now have. So
there was discussion of that maybe doing that next year.
Yeah.
I did a business.
And actually, Blanco has a business survey thing that we could use as a template.
Okay.
So that's something we could look at too.
Okay.
You also asked about this list of American Rescue Plan funding projects. I think there's a bit of a mix in here between things that the EDC would have a key role in and a mix of things where the EDC might have a little bit of role in. And to give some examples, the council allocated funds to, up at the top, you'll see the waterfront project and Highway 43. These are big community planning projects that we would expect would have, in fact, the council has just approved having committees, a broad cross-section of interested people serving as committees. I would expect the EDC to be represented on that, but not to be leading work. So, for example, we're looking at Highway 43 zoning. Well, we want to invite businesses from along Highway 43. We want to invite residents. We want to invite neighbors. We want to probably invite ODOT because they own Highway 43. So that sort of thing. But I think the EDC should be connected to them.
Something Russell and I have been lobbying through this committee for years now.
Here we go.
To read Zone 43.
Let's do it. The council is all over it and very supportive. They allocated general fund money and some money from in here. So there's money to hire a consultant. Planning staff is going to be coming to this meeting. I don't know if you spoke to them yet, but they're going to come and talk about this project.
Oh, okay, great.
What the timeline is and where it's going. So that'll be a good discussion. There's other things in here that are more, it ranges from that sort of like giant community planning projects to very, very specific things that partners are doing. Like the Chamber of Commerce Business Directory. So that may not be a thing that the EDC has a role in, or, you know, that's something that the Chamber is going to do and we're just going to help them publish it. And I think there's kind of everything in between. So like the grant programs, I think it's a great discussion that can be had here to make sure that we're doing things that are on track. I think the council sees you as the group that is working with Alina to ensure that these projects are hitting the target. So, you know, I guess on some of these, I guess I'm the ultimate decider, but your input is very much desired. And I see it as a partnership moving forward. I'm happy to, I can sort of improv on any of these probably, but that's sort of how I see it.
Yeah. And I think, like, for example, this Westland Wellness Fair that the Chamber is putting on this weekend, you know, we'll support that, but there is extra dollars in my budget to help with another type of event, so that if we wanted to do something, I think I mentioned the last time, in conjunction with the technical marketing grant that we're going to do for the businesses, and we want to put on some job fair or business event, I could work with the Chamber, you know, help support them and take a little bit of this lot of money. So it might be something that I maybe propose to you guys. Hey, what do you think about this? And we could break apart the dollars a little bit more and sort of say, of course, I would run it by you, but like maybe come up with a few that we're actually going to start to work on in 2023. And when we write our report next month, we can maybe sort of dissect these a little bit more.
I mean, the other thing we talked about is at some point we'd like to update that economic analysis, what it's called.
Oh, yeah, that was a question I had too. The EAO?
Yeah.
EAO.
Yeah.
Economic Opportunities Analysis.
I think I have it here.
It's getting outdated now. I think it's 2016 that it was last done.
That's before I was, yeah.
How was that utilized? Like, can you explain like what its purpose was at the time?
Mostly information. It tells us where we're lacking stuff like zoning, where we're lacking zoning for the businesses, or lacking opportunity for businesses to be here.
Is it something council directed you guys to help?
I think
write?
It was that was before my time too. So I think it was done right before I got on EDC. You know, I've just perused it. I haven't looked at it that intently, but one of the things I'm surprised the businesses thought you had money coming in because they don't pay. Yeah. Where would they write a check to somebody?
I don't know, but they were all surprised.
I had to, my husband works in Baltimore County, and to write a check to Baltimore County.
We do write checks to them for no reason.
I think they sort of thought it was some sort of like property tax thing.
There's the business license.
That's the one.
But one
thing,
of the things, there's also the street. The street maintenance fee that we pay.
That's true.
As businesses. And
that's true.
Right when I started, they had just adjusted some of them. Like, I think, like, you know, Park Rose pays something like $100,000 or something like that for their street maintenance fee for as many cars. It's like based on as a business, how many cars you have coming into your business or whatever. So at one point, we were like, well, we should kind of understand where there is money coming in from businesses, just to basically understand it. So at some point, the finance director could come in and say, you know, this is how much we're getting from the street maintenance fee, and this is how much we're getting from business licenses. And then maybe we could look at, do those need to be adjusted again for inflation?
I think we could do that. We could certainly do that. The council does a review of fees and charges every year. And it might be interesting to give some samples. Like, we pick 5 different kinds of business and just run every sort of fee related to it. It'd probably be an interesting inventory for you. Yeah. Most of them do just sort of go up with cost with inflation. It's sort of what the adjustment is. Some of them are limited by charter, others are just, you know, 1.5% increase kind of.
But I think there has been discussion of reworking the business licensing structure, so that's just a little bit like cleaner and easier right now. Homeowners pay quite a bit. We've talked about a variety of different things and had some feedback from the public, but I'd like to look at that for next, not 2023, but the next fiscal year, because I think also we're discussing a way, that's on the list, but just the update is really that we're just trying to improve the process and system, and also maybe do renewals monthly if we can get things a little bit more automated. So often people pay, you know, in April or May, and then they get a huge other bill right in June, and we get a lot of negative feedback regarding that. So it'd be nice if it was like very simplified and we raised it. I'd like to do projections on the numbers too, now that we have like our data's getting like more dialed in. So I could maybe bring a report the beginning of next year, like, this is what we brought in, and this is, we raised it, like, and we have this many businesses, and more businesses are coming here, like, look at, like, what that number might be. But yeah, can we specifically break it down? Like, I know you had said it was sort of vague, but would Lauren be able to tell us, like, how many, like, what the exact number is for business licenses? Do you think we could get that exact?
For business licenses, yeah.
It would be easy, right?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
The sidewalk permits, would that be a part of it too, if we ever implemented this?
Yeah, I was going to ask about that too.
I think that's going to be a major fee generator,
But
EDC did work on that project where we created all that code for the sidewalk thing. And there was a reason for it, because there are people who like to not have any walkway that you can walk through. And you have strollers doing this, trying to get through the seating. So I know we stopped it because of COVID.
Yeah.
But
it's on the list of it would to be implemented.
Nice to be implemented so that people can walk in a straight line. On the sidewalk.
Okay.
It's definitely on the list of things to do.
Less of a money maker, more as a let's make it so it's ADA accessible.
Yeah.
Josh, Russell, it's always hard to participate from virtual. Any questions for your new city manager?
No, I was reading a little bit of your background. Sorry, I didn't. Admittedly, I didn't know as much about you probably as your brother. But welcome aboard. I'm excited that you're taking the reins, and expect big things from you.
Thank you. Just to be clear, that was a joke. Russell and I are not related. Although we have spent some time together through the years on permit issues.
Only thing I'll add in John's favor is that when you do have, not that communication ever breaks down at the city of West Lynn, but if it does, John is a good person to get things back on track.
Thank you, Russell. I appreciate that. We haven't always, I know I haven't always delivered as much as we'd hoped on some of your issues, but we do try. Upward improvement is what we're aiming towards.
I will say on the communication issue with the wellness fair that's coming up this weekend, I sent that to somebody. She signed up, said she paid the fee, and then never heard back. She asked me if she was in. I said, I don't know. You'll probably get contacted. And she said she never got anything.
So that's a chamber event.
That's a
right?
chamber.
Yeah.
The Are you surprised?
Shatrine is running that event. And I'm happy to follow, but what's her name? Do you know?
It's actually my wife, Kim Williams.
Oh. And what's the business?
It's a sustainable living. I think she called it. She does chemical free cleaning.
Oh, okay.
Cool. That's great.
I can text or email Shatrine. I have not been involved in any, I've just been helping her market it, but I've not been involved with any of the administration, but I can pass along her.
Now that I know it's the chamber, I'm actually not that surprised at all.
Shatrine said there was 14 vendors, and she did just sort of pull it off last minute. But I'll follow up with her and say, hey, can you reach out to this? Can you just spell her name for me?
K-I-M.
And then it's your last name, Williams?
I don't think there's any other last name out there, is there?
She might have changed her name.
Okay.
That's what she's asking.
I know. I was just saying that it's a really cool last name.
I'm all about data.
Our
details,
game plan is that eventually everyone is named Williams. It should be much simpler.
We're just like Shannon and I have. Is everyone named Shannon?
I do have a Shannon Williams in my family.
I think something that would be helpful, and it kind of goes to like that the economic opportunity analysis, is for this group to have some click, and even the conflict between like economic development and business support, at least for how I think about it, it would be helpful if we had some clarity on like what are the key metrics that we care about around economic development. And I would be a little curious. So that's a little bit of a comment, right? Like, I think it would be really positive if we went into next year saying we really care about tax base, or we really care about the number of like employment in the city. And that could at least give us one or two things that we could focus on, and it could be a lens by which we could look at some of these different interventions. I have an overarching concern that there are interventions that are happening when it isn't necessarily tied to a performance metric or something that we can measure. And that probably ties back to some of my comments about the different grant programs. But I would be curious to hear from the city or the, maybe even council's perspective about like, what would you say that the, how can we measure quantifiably the performance of the city from a either business, community, or economic development lens?
I think those are great points. And the economic opportunity analysis that Shannon mentioned is one of the things that cities do to get at that, is what is our economic climate? How can we assess what we've got and where should we be pointing in the future? And I think sometimes you will see things about metrics. There's different ways to approach it depending on what communities are interested. Ours would probably be not so much about manufacturing and probably a whole bunch about different kinds of retail opportunities and commercial, or maybe there's a future in micro manufacturing. So that allows you to look at the current state, and also they'll bring in sort of what is the evolving future economy that we should be thinking about and planning for.
Does the city today, though, have a perspective of what economic development looks like?
Yeah, I don't think so. I really don't. We have not been approaching that in a coordinated way that I'm aware of, at least for years. I don't think, this group has really been sort of the sole flag bearer of thinking about economic development in that sense. You guys know better than I do, economic development in West Lynn is a really super interesting thing. And community members have really different opinions about it. Everything from, we should find ways to find more property where we could bring in more business, mm-hmm. to we should not rezone a single piece to do anything more intense than we have now. And so I don't think there has been a coordinated philosophy on business for quite some time in this community. You mentioned sort of the economic development and the business support. You've probably heard this from Alina. When the council created the funding for her position, it was very, very focused on pandemic recovery, mm-hmm. and business support, right? So the first few things is please get out grants. Please find out what people need. It was really about getting businesses back on their feet. And I do think as we move hopefully into 2023 and beyond, we'll be able to start thinking about economic development more. The way I think about those is like support for businesses in places that we already have. Economic development is more about maybe finding different ways for us to have business, or different places, or different zoning, or different industries. Economic development could also be enhancing our tourism sector and getting more people here. So I think there's a bunch that we could do. I was just, as you were talking, I was thinking about that Highway 43 zoning and the waterfront project. If we're hiring consulting firms to start helping us vision in those areas, I think a pretty obvious baseline would be like, what does West Lynn need? So it may be that we want to do some variety of economic opportunities analysis as a baseline for like the Highway 43. Because I would think as we're looking at Highway 43, we're really talking about one of the few places in town, if maybe the only place, that we can really think about business development in a different way. And it's one of the few places that I think this community would support some new look. So I think it'd be really smart to think, what are we missing? What are our needs maybe? And what are other communities of 27,000 have? And could this be an area for it? And I think you guys could be right at the heart of sort of reminding us to be doing that.
Yeah, I had a mention last night too about how the tolling.
Excuse me.
Where right now we have to get on the freeway to do most of our shopping, clothing shopping, or home goods, like couch, you have to go on the freeway to get a couch, right? Exactly. So, if we have to think and factor in tolling, like we need to have more businesses where we don't have to get on the freeway to go.
And if we were to say, hey, as a group, one of our objectives for the coming year is to imagine what economic community looks like in our city where we don't have to leave, like that's crystal clear to me, right? It's like, okay. And then I think there's things that's a lens from which we can view this. I think the comment that we're across the community, there's extremely divergent perspectives on what economic development means. I think that within our group, we could come up with a perspective, which will be one voice in those larger discussions. But if we were able to articulate a perspective, I think it would be incredibly powerful in terms of at least galvanizing a viewpoint that can be advanced. And so what I have a little bit of a concern that, you know, maybe each week we're responding, you know, to these different things or waiting for other folks to drive the bus. And then we're like, oh, here's our perspective on TIF. Here's our perspective on this. Like, oh, we should zone a little bit more commercial. That's very different than us developing a perspective that we can champion and saying, this is what economic development means to our economic development citizen committee. Like, let's go out and do that and galvanize the resources around a vision that we can create that we can own.
Has there never been one for the committee?
Never been one.
Like a vision or a...
Oh, that they're talking about, I think that's what you're talking about, this analysis that was done. And...
Yeah, I mean, we can take that 2016 and see, I mean, we put that on our agenda for the next, you know, couple months to look through it and to...
The other place that there's relevant. The other place that there's a vision is in the comprehensive plan, but I don't believe that's been looked at for a long, long time.
Yeah.
But there is a, you know, there is an economic, there's an economic component
there.
In the comprehensive plan. And I'm sure it says lots of good things about meeting your daily needs here and things. But honestly, I've been here 5 years. I've never read it.
And even this economic opportunity analysis, I read it before. I skimmed it. I'm not like very in detail. But it's like, here are like 8 sectors we support. All of these sectors except for heavy manufacturing, right? Like it's very much like, let's just do everything. And it's like, if we're trying to do everything, and I'm sure the comp plan also is somewhat vague in different ways.
Yeah.
But it's like, well, I guess I have a little bit of concern that if our vision is too amorphous, it's going to be very hard to drive change or at least be a voice of change. Not that we need radical change or, you know, we need skyscrapers or anything like that, but there may be areas of leverage that we could have as a group.
Yeah, and I don't think with the comp plan or maybe even this EOA that there's a lot of emphasis on climate change and that kind of stuff, which is what we were like trying to make sure we have jobs locally so we're not driving, you know, stuff like that.
I like the idea of connecting it directly to one or two projects that we're working on and having that like almost inform the work or what, like what you're saying, like metrics to just have a specific, because I feel like, and I've talked to John about this too, that there's just really sort of two positions happening here. And I've only been here 6 months, but there, because there's been no one in this position for 7 years, it's highly administrative and there's a lot to sort of work out with that's really not related to the larger vision of economic development. So I think it'd be fun to sort of continue the conversation and maybe even not necessarily change the name of the committee, but maybe it's more community development, or maybe it turns into like task force groups that are specific, or instead of just always sort of throwing, like you're saying, like 8 topics in and working a little bit on tourism video or working a little bit on this. I mean, I know we're a small municipality and like I've been working with Tiger a lot on the facade grant program, and they have, you know, because they have a TIF or a URA or they have one person that specifically focuses there, and then they have their business support. Of course they're much bigger, but I think it would be beneficial and I would be more effective and we would be more effective if it did get kind of honed or divided and it was like, this is exactly what we're doing. And then I've even thought about using some of the dollars that I have or refund to have a consultant or someone else do like that specific work, or, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
If we could sort of strategize that, that would be great.
Yeah. One more point, and I know you have other things on your agenda. One more point I'll make on this. It's always challenging for advisory committee members and groups is that you don't direct. You don't exactly direct Alina, right?
That's right.
And the way you have your authority is by really the big piece, if you can use it effectively, is figure out something that needs to be done and advocate to council that they allocate resources and budget to it, right? So if we need an economic opportunity analysis, it's probably a $60,000 project, right? So if that's very important and you guys work on exactly what it is, you can go to council. We're going to be drafting a budget starting December, adopted in June next year.
And that budget, one of the things they could consider is $60,000 to hire a consulting firm to assist Alina and you with an economic opportunities analysis. But if you want one, you're going to be frustrated if you try to get Alina to do one. Right? So I think that's a real challenge for all of you. You all have your own individual energies and resources where you can do things. But in order to do big things, you kind of need to go up the chain and have it come back down the chain. And I'm sure that's frustrating sometimes.
See, but the other thing is, it's like, instead of waiting for 60 grand, we take a look at the old one. We say, hey, what are we passionate about that's in here? What do we believe in that's in here? And then we make a new two-page economic opportunity analysis. Say, hey, here's our analysis. Okay, and we'd send that up the food chain. Hey, here are the two interventions. And, you know, the Highway 43 certainly is probably one of them. But if I think we could develop amongst our committee some of that perspective, not that it's not the solution, but it's at least a perspective, instead of necessarily like relying on that outside consultant, and then we wait a year to get back a report that 50-50 says nothing. No offense to consultants, but
we used to have a matrix when was an outside consultant. I think he was John Morgan. Mm-hmm. John Morgan was our liaison, and he had this nice matrix that he brought every month with all the goals that we had set out at some point, and like checking off, you know, if this had gotten done at council, and waterfront project was on there forever, and you know, he would just give us updates, you know, where we are with all these kind of projects and what we can do next to kind of bring them along. So maybe we need to work on some kind of matrix like that we just, you know, keep referring back to.
And then the economic development plan, I know that Todd Jones was interested in it. How does that connect? Do you know this one that was written? It's 2011 to 2018, and it's on our website. And
in 2011? No, I do not.
I mean, it's 2011 to 2018, but
no, it's resolution 2011.
Oh, I
it's
see.
Resolution 18 in 2011.
Oh, so that's ancient.
Yeah, it's 11 years old.
Okay. I think it's still, I don't know.
What is it?
It's an economic development plan. It's on the website, too.
It's pretty short. This is the whole thing. It's probably exactly what you would say now. Let's see. Yeah. Interesting. I'm actually not familiar with that.
Huh. Okay. Yeah, so it sounds like drafting something would be beneficial.
You know, I think if you guys were able to put together, even if it was like the EDC's vision for, like, you know, having a two-page thing like that, just imagine how much help that would be to the consultant starting the Highway 43 plan.
Right.
Like, oh, if this is sort of what the city wants to be, then we can be working for that from the beginning. It would be super helpful. So
would the community need to be involved?
Yeah, but you guys are the community, and you can advise us on the CCI. So, you know, how would the community be involved? And I think if you made it, you know, you don't necessarily have the binding thing that the council adopts by ordinance, but it's like this is issues that we think should be addressed, even would be really, really helpful.
We don't necessarily, like, our committee doesn't facilitate all that review, right? Like, just say, hey, here's, you know, some our thoughts. That's one piece of documentation out there. It's not the be all and end all.
Yeah.
I mean, I think ideally, when I started looking at the CCI stuff and looking at what other cities do, I kind of feel like the best procedure would be for something to start like this, you know, at economic development. And then every CAG that has relevancy to, you know, like, I talk about sustainable goals, have sustainability look at it and give their opinion. Have each CAG give their opinion on something that's being done in the city so that you're getting a broad section and everybody else knows what's going on, and you're keeping all these other groups informed, because there's so many times where these other CAGs are doing stuff that might have been relevant to EDC, but we didn't even know about it. You know, I only know about them because I listen to all the meetings, but otherwise no one knows. You know what I mean? Because none of the groups talk to each other, work together. So that would be my dream.
Like, the TIP is a perfect example of, I think it seems like there's a lot of collaboration happening there because of the committee you put together too.
Yeah, I think so.
And do you think looking at what some of the other cities are doing, like I've been spending a lot of time in McMinnville lately, like some very interesting economic development models going on there. Like Oswego, right? And we're from different perspectives, but if you take a look at their arc over the last 20 years, there's definitely some lessons to be learned there. And so, or in any case, like I think it would also be great, and I don't know if how we need to like formally do this, but if we go, or like Wilsonville, so like Wilsonville used to have an economic development like full-time person, I think he moved to Australia, I think Big Jordan.
They still, they have Matt Lorenzen's down there.
Matt.
Okay.
And he's a Wilson resident.
Yeah, he is.
Okay, but I think going and chatting with them, you know, something like that I think would be super interesting as well.
Anybody know if City of Lake Oswego has the, like Philadelphia, they have a art tax for all new permits to pay for artwork? Does Lake Oswego have something like that?
Yes.
Lake Oswego pays for their art, mostly with their tourism taxes. They have lodging taxes and they make hand over fist money because they have hundreds of hotel rooms out on Cruiseway. And that pays for their, that pays for that, all those statues and that fun stuff. They do a lot of cool things with that tourism and bed tax. I don't know if they have something additional for, other than that, for art, Russell, but they might.
I think they do, like us, because I think we helped build our model, if I remember correctly, on our art, like 1% on the projects.
Yeah.
Building projects or whatever.
Yeah. There. I was just thinking if we're going to push to have Highway 43 rezoned and developing the waterfront, then developing some sort of way to accommodate artwork would be what we're thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be really cool.
All right. Do you guys want to move along? I'm thinking, looking at the agenda, I think I'd like to skip. Shannon Eilis, I really wanted her here when I was to talk about some of this website and survey items and connecting to the marketing technical grant that we're gonna, that I'm gonna do for this winter. So I don't want to keep John. I know he wants to hear about the TIF too. So I'm thinking,
so we can move it around. We can move it to,
yeah, we can either move it to the end or we can just do it for next time. It's really do you mind jumping in and sharing your?
Do you want to do your grant facade?
Oh, the facade grant was really, I think everyone knows it's launched. I was just going to let people know that it's out there. It's the application period ends October 28th. Had one application, but I've had several, you know, people I think are working on it right now. So we'll see. Highway 43, someone on Willamette Falls Drive. It's an easy application, so I'm glad that you're not overthinking, and then we'll just see what the projects are and work with the planning department on those. And I don't know if I'll bring them to you for review or not. I think it'll depend a little bit on timing, but I'm working with a couple people in planning, so
I'm glad you're getting at least some people applying for it.
Yeah, I think that my guess is there'll be, I would love if there was seven, but I'm thinking it'll be like four or five. But I think it'll be right in the last 15 hours too. So.
Absolutely. People.
Yeah, I mean, they're working on it.
Yeah.
And so.
People are deadline.
Yeah. So we won't really know the end of next week.
We've still got all kinds of time.
We've talked about the facade grant program a lot. And so I was just giving them a little bit update. Awesome. And then I think I'd like, just so I don't have to keep you two, Michael can talk about the TIF now, and then if there's time I can talk about my other items, but they're not, you know, pressing. And I, like I said, Shannon, I'd kind of like her to be here to talk about a couple of different things too. But do you wanna give a little update?
I might lean on John a little bit. Are you minutes from our last meeting, which was number one, that we were supportive of those TIF boundaries as proposed, and any of these things we can revisit if there's interest. Number two, that we're supportive of some sort of focus on Robinwood and 43 corridor. Number three, that we're indifferent to the duration of the TIF. And then number four, that we valued, even though we wanted to leave Willamette into that boundary, that we valued focusing on the waterway portion or the riverfront portion, which is say more that area than this area. And I think that last point was actually fairly consistent with how the projects were conceived. So I think there was strong alignment on most of those points. I think in terms of an update, and John can share his perspective, my perspective is that there's a little bit of a fault line between folks that are ready to move forward with it and folks that want to study the concept maybe a little bit more. Where the meeting ended was a decision was made to delay the TIF committee making any final recommendations in order to give each person on the committee time to go back to their respective groups or to the community at large and to provide additional feedback on the project prioritization list. And so these are the projects that are tentatively being contemplated for, and this is probably page 8 or so.
Did you say 6, 7, and 8?
Yeah, I think it's 6, 7, and 8. And they're broken up. I think this is maybe.
Oh, yeah.
I guess I'll just take this one. Yeah. So these are broken up into three categories. And so it's priority 1, priority 2, priority 3. The way that the TIF works is because for the first year of the TIF, the increment is like super small, right? Because it's growing every year. There's not a lot of money right at first. So even though it says priority 1, that doesn't mean that these funds would be available immediately. It very well could be like 15 years down the road that you do priority 1, and then priority 2 is 20 years, and so on and so forth. The other assumption in this is for every line item that 50% of it is funded through the TIF, and then 50% is funded through outside dollars. So the actual cost of each one of these independent projects is significantly greater, twice the size of what's listed here. So the one point of feedback that I think would be helpful is just discussion on these projects, and to the extent that EDC has a perspective on, oh, we think that this isn't the right focus area, or we think something else is the right focus area, that would be valuable, and or we could just reiterate our position, hey, we're open to these projects, and we think that we need to prioritize riverfront development, you know, which these projects by and large do. That's my summary of the meeting. John was there for pretty much all of it, right? So where am I off?
Oh, it's, off great. Base? It's a great summary. I think there's the two big issues seem to be right now is like which projects and what priority, because as you said, you're not going to be able to fund everything immediately. It's not like you create this district, then you can take out a massive bond. You have to build up the money to actually repay the bond or the loan or however it is that you're going to do the financing. So figuring out what projects, and I think the angle that the EDC has, which is a perfect angle for this TIF discussion, which projects stand to stimulate some economic development? That's really the question. And that's what all the other partners want to know and are thinking. So I'm happy to answer any of the background questions about the map or the way TIF works or all of that, but I think that's you've identified the fundamental question.
So what's wildfires drive improvements? What's phase 1 and what's phase 2?
Yeah, I knew you were going to ask that. And
so I'm assuming it's the bike lanes.
The whole thing is the distance between 10th and Highway 43. And I think it's just, I was trying to remember if phase 1 was the realignment through the middle parking lot or phase 1 was the other part. But essentially, the Willamette Falls Drive project complete, one and two, is building a full multimodal road from 10th Street to the Arch Bridge, including realignment through where the mill parking lot is now, and the roundabout is planned for the intersection of Highway 43 to the roundabout traffic jam. Oh,
so does it include the roundabout, or that's
more? I believe it includes the roundabout as well. I could be wrong about that.
John, why is multimodal required in order to, say, develop this land right here?
So multimodal isn't necessarily, so anything that happens, we're pointing at a map of Westland.
And I was just pointing to the area, the paper mills parking lot area that's right behind the city hall.
Any development that goes in is going to be required to build a full multimodal street as part of their development. And so there's a lot of obstacles to building a thing down there. It's a really, really challenging area. There's no infrastructure that's modern. And anyone coming in who wants to say, let's say this community's vision ends up being some nice mixed use buildings around the historic city hall that have some businesses downstairs and some residences upstairs. Anyone trying to do that is facing a really, we've heard from architects, from developers, the challenges of building in that area are so steep that it's not currently financially feasible. So the way you would incentivize something like that is happening is putting in some public dollars to the infrastructure. And so that's where you would put in the roundabout, street connection that had bike lanes, sidewalks, so that everyone could access it, so connect to the future riverfront trail. I think the vision for the waterfront area hasn't been fully defined, but universally what we heard is give us access to the riverfront so that we can, trail connections along from Willamette Park to the Arch Bridge was like everyone's number one. Boy, we'd love to be able to do that. So if you're going to do that, then you need to have the multimodal connection at the end that allows cyclists and pedestrians to use it.
I think the multimodal part is, I guess it was required when we did Main Street because we were redoing it. So I don't know. But I think it's state law, but it's also in our TSP, our code too, that it has to be done.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I got an argument. I don't know because I bought a lot of stuff on the Apple Store stuff.
And this, John, my understanding also is that this is a tentative directional project list. Whether this is like binding the city, and the city council is actually the governance for this. So city council in 10 years, they can just decide how they want to spend it. Like this is like, hey, directionally, here's what we're thinking today.
This list gives you an idea that sort of justifies the creation of it, but in 5 years, we'll be smarter, we'll be different. We'll have gotten a massive grant for one thing and no funding at all for another thing.
Maybe there's a developer who has a very specific vision. And so like my perspective, for what it's worth, my perspective on this whole thing is just do the TIF, get it done, get the money, start coming in, and we'll figure out in the future. But if we just mess around for the next 2 years waiting for more studies, we're gonna end up in a situation where there's just no money in 5 years or 10 years when it's time to do some of that investment or have a developer, the mill closes, God forbid.
That's the idea. It's sort of a savings account for future infrastructure.
I mean, I think these are pretty good lists. The Tandler Street realignment, is that thought of so that that parcel of Tandler gets redeveloped? Is that the thinking there? Is why it's such a high priority?
The district includes the River Falls Plaza and the vacant property on the north side of Blankenship, right? And so the thinking is that the realignment is required in order that anything different happen in those places. Would give the city funds to partner on the project.
Yeah. So if we're looking at it from the perspective, what would create development, that would agree with them.
Yeah.
And there's low-hanging fruit there probably. If and I think there's some contention on that issue around development, but.
Does everyone know what Chandler Drive, Chandler Street realignment means, what that would be? Chandler coming down the hill, hitting Blankenship, would be realigned through that vacant property, and you'd get a new traffic signal at the intersection of the Park Rose parking lot and Chandler. Chandler would come down, there'd be a four-way straight intersection right there.
Right here.
The reason that, right here.
Oh, I got it.
Right here, Russell Williams. because you can't put a traffic signal right here because it's too close to this one.
Right, yeah, right.
It's too close. So in order to get a traffic signal here, you have to put it here. And Chandler would have to be realigned somehow through this. Now, this property has been a huge bone of contention through the years, and certain neighborhood advocates have fought various development plans that have been brought forward. So it's not at all to say that that will ever happen. It's more of a should it happen, this would allow you to do it correctly. And Michael's heard me say this a number of times. The one thing about TIF that everyone seems to misunderstand, because they never worked on one before, so why would they? It doesn't change the zoning of the city. It doesn't change the comprehensive plan. It doesn't change our capital improvement list. It is simply a funding mechanism. So all of that, like if you want the zoning to be different on River Falls Plaza, that's an entirely different project. Yeah.
Well, I mean, the Riverfront Trail, I'm not sure, well, I would like that personally. Not sure how it stimulates anything other than in the area by the falls.
So the idea is tourism.
Yeah.
Driving your tourist economy.
People coming in.
So, you know, you'll hear Rebecca on Main Street talking about if you could get more people here for our natural wonders, then they'd stop by Main Street and buy lunch and buy
goods. Oh, I totally agree about that.
I think it's nowhere near as direct a connection as building a sewer line, so it's really
right.
Different from that. So that's the kind of advice, you know, let's say we had to scale it down. Which ones would you say are priorities?
And that's like one thing that I was thinking to advocate in that TIP committee is to say, hey, these projects are great. We understand the projects are probably going to change. What we believe is important in creating this TIP is that the guiding principle is that it'll actually create new tax base.
Right.
Right. And so if there's a developer that says, with a trail, I'm going to build a low rise two-story hotel, should be super careful with how I say that.
A boutique
high-end, story and a half, with vaulted ceilings. Then it's like, hey, then let's allocate some funds to that. But like, what this shouldn't be is we're reallocating tax money from other projects to fund a vanity project in the future because we all think it would be super cool.
Yeah.
Right. But that's my biggest concern with this, especially like we don't even know who's going to be on council in 10 years.
Yeah.
You have to trust. But
Joe, what is the streetscape beautification? Is that what area is? I mean, is that like the whole green area on that map? Or?
Great question. I do not remember that.
Because I don't know, but does this connect? This connects to Highway 43, but it's not doing anything specifically on Highway 43.
No, if you go back to the boundary, you'll see the boundary. All the funds have to be spent within the boundary. You can't spend on something an inch outside the boundary. It would all be spent in there. I feel like maybe that one was other areas in the Main Street area, possibly, like 8th.
Well, they have the 8th Avenue connection, 8th Avenue improvements here. And then the second tier where
we can find
parking on the 12th
yeah.
and 14th. I'm assuming the Willamette Falls Drive 12th and 14th are parking, because Lance had always talked about we could add more angled parking on those streets.
What's the
priority two?
Oh yeah. Yeah, I think
that's the only thing I
Yeah, and those are pretty small dollar numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just realigning some parking.
I think that's right.
I mean, I'm no expert, but I keep coming back to like the connection to the getting to into the city and the connection to Oregon City is where I feel like it's so important. Like I always am like historic City Hall and that part, like it's like that's where you come off 205 and that's where you come into Oregon City. It's like that's how you're going to get people up to these other areas. So it's like, it just seems like that's like the hub, like that should be, and that's in that district, right? Like that's, I mean, that's included, but it's just sort of, I think that's the landscape designer maybe talks about like access and it thinks about circulation and it's sort of like, you know, there's all this stuff in Willamette Falls already. Of course, it's like, we want to do, but it's like, it's all the connection. It's like, well, what building off of what's already there seems like it then, you know, and like this.
I think a riverfront park would be a higher priority because I think you build a lot of residents around a park. People want to live by a park.
Yes, especially.
Like one's residential, one's kind of commercial angles too.
Yeah, and I think it's a question too of like how developable is some of that stuff, mm-hmm. which I don't know, I have an opinion on that, but.
I mean, isn't the riverfront park, would it be
the
waterfront area or more the ponds area?
Because
I think that's all private, right?
Yeah, it is. It would be some kind of a partnership to develop a big park down there.
TBD.
So by the ponds.
Somewhere when an opportunity becomes available in 5 to 20 years, you would do something down there that would be an amenity. You know, you clean up the ponds and you turn it into a park area, which is pretty easy to imagine how cool that would be.
It is, but do we need another park? But you already have a huge Willamette Park there.
Yeah.
So. I was thinking more of the other.
I think this would be a different kind of thing. This would be a big natural park, probably.
Or maybe a small natural park, just along the riverfront. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
I think so. The Blue Heron site can all be filled, mm-hmm. right? There's nothing that prevents any of that being filled. You just turn into development.
No, it's just expensive.
It's so. Yes and no, it depends on how you do it. Because right now, like clean fill disposal costs, folks pay $2 to $5 a ton to dispose of clean fill. So there are ways that you could fill that. And you can barge fill in there also.
For a park though, right?
Or to develop it.
Really? I thought to develop it is a lot more environmentally.
There's a little some cleanup required, but our understanding is that ponds are not as polluted as you might imagine they are. It's because they're only built in the 70s, and so it's not sludge from the 30s and 40s. It was built once there were already environmental protections on those facilities. So there's some stuff, but it's not as bad as you might dread. That's what I've been told.
Well, also the guy who bought those ponds is very easy. He's gonna be pretty easy to work with. He's already, we talked to him because our ski dock is, we're not sure whose property it is. So it's all the property lines
the
over there.
The ski dock
all
is
around.
Tied up down here.
Yeah.
Because there's a bunch of pile in the river.
Yeah, so that's the one that's an actual dock floating in there. Well, we have some old docks that are shore right now. But yeah, so we talked to him because it's really weird. PGE owns some of it.
Yeah,
Mello
all the parcels are all.
So we're like, we're not sure where it is, so let's just talk to them when we took over.
And what is the Belgravia? Which pieces do they own?
Belgravia really only owns the immediate upland area that you think of as the parking lot.
Everything right behind here, mm-hmm. and that's all rented to the mill.
Yes.
That's their parking lot right now.
Yep. Yeah, pretty much everything else from here to here is owned by PGE.
And aren't there some little sections in here that are different?
There are a couple of little exceptions to that rule.
But
Brady has another piece
own.
Down there.
Yeah.
Josh or Russell, do you have any comments or questions?
Does anyone know what PGE's position is on their property?
We do. PGE is content having an operating mill, paper mill, which makes it easy for them. They like to be, you know, the mill uses power from there, which is good. Long term, I think they know that it's probably not going to be a paper mill for the next 100 years. And they are open to, they're very, very open to working with us on what a future vision might be. They've been pretty cagey, and I think it's mostly because they don't know like when they would be willing to actually start moving on stuff. They also are getting a lot of contact and pressure from tribes to look at restoration of properties if a mill ever were to go away. So I think that's going to be a significant conversation. They don't see themselves as being in the economic development business. They see themselves as a power company, which is how most of us see them. And so this is a little bit of an odd sideline operation for them that is sort of in a funny little area in their massive organization. So I think if the mill closed tomorrow and stayed closed, they'd probably start being a much more interested participant. For right now, they're kind of like, oh, we've got a tenant, it's great. And they produce, you know, there's 200 high wage jobs in there and it's awesome, which we all kind of agree with.
My, the only other comment that I have is, how likely is that area to be developed if the ponds are still there? I say that from firsthand experience because those ponds smell really ripe in the summer months. And I'm guessing that people wouldn't want to have like a $500,000 condo right next to them.
Yeah, I honestly think the development potential down there, I think this community is going to argue pretty hard for a significant chunk to be preserved as natural area and parks and trails. I think the development, certainly over by the historic city hall, certainly some areas up along Willamette Falls Drive, and maybe some down towards the water. But, you know, in our initial conversations pre-COVID with the community, this community is pretty strong on waterfront preservation and trails and natural areas. And, you know, and honestly, a lot of that acreage is floodplain and can't be messed with anyway. So I think the Blue Heron Pond is a big exception to that. You think of major redevelopment down there and immediately my mind goes to transportation. How do you get cars in and out? It'll be challenging. There really are a lot of challenges. And so whatever it ends up being, whatever the community wants, back to Michael's point of like, this TIF district would allow you to have some funds to partner in whatever it is, whether that's providing access to a very limited development or something much more comprehensive that the community ends up supporting.
I think that's too cool. Where it's like back to the metrics, like are we creating a commercial area or like the overall arching, like should we really be focusing on tourism and you know getting this branding
a hotel.
What'd you say?
Clearly, there's very many. We should be building a hotel.
Yeah.
I heard about a boutique hotel going in Oregon City.
Yes, there's one coming here. It's two stories.
I think we could get four.
I think it's a super important question, though, because if we don't care about tax base, right, like that's what I think probably most cities care about from like an economic development perspective, or if we don't think the rest of the city cares about tax base, then like maybe we'd don't need to worry about that. Like we're trying to create a community with, you know, without a lot of tax space. And we just want to create a community where there's a lot of parks and we're going to drive to leave, you know, and we're just going to take that because we like having a residential based place.
This is a weird question, is because I don't have the knowledge, but like who, is it the citizens that would decide that ultimately? Like,
no, it's the city council ultimately.
Ultimately, city council will say this is the direction that we want to take
totally.
That.
Yeah, city council decides everything eventually.
Yeah, and when does the TIF get approved? Like, when would it start to move ahead? Is it next year?
Yes, the final decisions will probably be next year. Or okay. First quarter next year, probably.
And I'm sorry, but you may have said this. How many do these select? Do you select all those priority projects? Do you pick some of those priority projects?
Or? Well, right now we think the funding could accommodate everything, that list that, okay. that you showed, that's the tier one.
Okay.
Only because it's only 50% of those project costs.
Okay.
So $40 million seems like a good amount to shoot for over the lifetime in 2022 dollars.
And that's where the duration of the TIF matters, because if we came in and said, hey, we want 50-year duration, that's going to change the math on how much. And that's only
30 is the most.
30 is the year most.
Yeah, 30 is the most. So it's really the key to set decision is setting the total dollar amount. It actually doesn't end up being years. It ends up being a dollar amount, and the council can kill it anytime it wants. But it ends up being like, what is the dollar amount that we want to shoot for?
I think though, TBF&R is pushing for an outside limit on number of years, so it'll be the less of the smaller of the number of years or the dollar amount. But yeah, technically, I think it's.
And then, like, you know, let's say we lobby really hard for Metro to give us a grant for, you know, this Warner Falls ride improvements or
sure.
whatever, ODOT or whatever, and gets to pay for it. So that would make the project happen sooner, or say it was a tier two, and it would make it happen sooner than later. So essentially,
yeah, I think you'd be optimistic, probably. Yeah.
I'm just saying, very, yep. right. Because you're only funding half of this, so I'm assuming the money's got to come.
So,
interesting. Do you go ahead? Do you want us? I guess I'm not really involved in voting, but did you want?
Yeah. Does anyone else have any other comments about this or questions?
Only I just, as I'm looking at the boundaries, I was just thinking how big it is. Maybe this was addressed before, but if we're going to talk about Riverfront and then we're including all the way up to Tandler, if it might be too big of a district.
That's been one of the active conversation points. There probably is a contingent of folks that would be supportive of removing Tandler. And then there's also a contingent that's supportive probably of removing Tandler and historic Willamette.
Well, to be clear, though, that contingent is quite small.
Yeah,
there were some advisory votes on that early on in the committee, and it was only
one or two people.
It was only one or two people.
Yeah. The overwhelming majority of the TIF folks are supportive of the boundaries as they are. And the trade-off there is when the boundary gets constrained, it takes away that tax base from being able to supply funds to the TIF. And it makes it not possible to do projects if at that location. Those are the two ramifications.
Yeah, I thought about that being the taxes was probably the main driver to including that area, but I just remember when John Morgan was here, we had this giant project that was massive and it seemed like it just never got anywhere.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking about breaking it down. The other part that I was thinking with to John Williams' point is that this community has like 10 people that'll show up to every council meeting and kick and scream if you do anything but a park. And then everybody thinks that's what everybody else wants is a park. And we, thinking forward, if we're planning and trying to sell this, I guess, to the community, my office is right down here by the bridge where they're going to put a toll. It doesn't seem like that's not going to happen. So if we're selling it to the community about giving them an alternative to driving out of town, maybe that would also help alleviate some of those 10 loud voices that want just a park.
Yeah, you know, this discussion has been very very creative and proactive, forward thinking. Folks that sort of are neutral or care a little or, you know, even positive don't tend to come out at the end. And so you do tend to have a very small number of folks that are very vocal and very opposed to things. And it really is the majority of who the council hears from them when they're making decisions. And I always urge people, you know, if you've got a different take, it's not always super fun, but if there's something you support that you think is important, it makes the council's decision making a lot easier for them if they've got some people that are testifying in favor of things. We just don't tend to get that a lot here.
Can we recruit that type of commentary?
Why don't we create a movement around this?
Why don't we create our vision for economic development, okay? Yeah. And let's go get, let's write it down on a page and a half, and then let's go get 50 people, us plus our spouses, and let's show up to a couple meetings.
So maybe when we're like, I want to be
sponsored. Some kids, some adult children, yeah.
Yeah. People are vocal on like social media, but they, I'm like, that's it. Testimony in email, but they can't even, the email is too hard for them.
We'll write the testimony. That's how most of that happens, right?
It's true. Come on.
That's what the opponents do.
Yeah, meet someone in person. I mean, is that preferred?
I'm neutral, right? But what I'm telling you my observation of what how the process is. And you know, the council's been working on this for 2.5 years, and the council allocated money in a budgetary process to hire the consultant. So the council's been supportive of this. The question of the advisory committee really is more about how should it be done rather than whether it should be done. Right? And so, but if all of that happens, and at the end, there's 10 people in the room, and they're all vehemently opposed. It just makes, it's the optics for the council is hard, you know, like, and then they approve it, and people watch the meeting, like, why the hell did they approve it? Because no one was in favor of it.
It'd be cool to have a video or interview people and have it, you know, to get people, like, to get that recorded, like, to get sort of a broader spectrum of who's in the community. I mean, you can't do a petition or something, but it's like, they're out there. They're just, I mean, from working in city government years ago, it's like people are intimidated by it, but you can make a difference.
Like, I'll actually give you guys an example. So like that Highway 43 realignment on the church there, like I'm supportive of doing that, you know, and taking away the playground, right? Because it's like, hey, Highway 43 is a problem. Like I live like 2 blocks from there. Like, I was intimidated to go to the church meeting where they were going to like, hey, community, come. Because it was like 100% set up, hey, community, come to the church to bash on this road development. You know, it's like.
You don't want to be the one.
You don't want to be the one person.
Did you be there?
I didn't go. Is that what happened or what happened?
Yeah, there was, I was the main event, and there was, me and Lance, but I started off, there's probably, I would say there's 130 people there. It's the biggest meeting I've ever been to in wrestling.
There was
shouting, there was yelling, there was people stomping out. It was really intense.
And like, I didn't feel like that passionate in favor, but it's like, hey, I think there's going to be differential impacts. Some people will benefit, some people will not benefit, but like net, like it will make that whole rule stretch safer and better. My 2 cents.
People are just opposed to change.
Yeah.
Well, 130
in this case,
people though.
In this case, there were concerns about communication, how much have they heard and when. A lot of the work in this project had been years ago, and there'd been no update for a while, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, look, we finished it. Isn't it great? So there's a lot going on, a lot to unpack. And I also, you know, these meetings are recorded, right? You know, it's really important to me that our job is to bring is to bring community information to the council for decision making, right? We created a pretty diverse committee, diverse, you know, from perspective, not necessarily ethnically diverse or, you know, but I really don't have a position one way or the other. What I'm trying to do is carry out what the council's told me to do. So that's what my job is. And if the council decides no, we'll be perfectly happy and we'll do something else. So.
Yeah, and I think John is like one of your priorities is communication, both external and internal. And I like to communicate more. It's like, that's how you build trust. I think part of the reason people get activated and negative is really just like a fear because they haven't had the communication. So as we move forward too, it's like we could try to get more information out to the community or get more people involved somehow or get these people that support commercial development or whatever the development is and make sure that they're
getting heard. I think that's powerful about being able to articulate that vision. Hey, this is what responsible development could look like. And it could look like something really powerful, really uniting and really positive. And yes, there's going to be some negative consequences in the meantime, but if we can articulate that, that's something that folks can latch on to instead of just, you know, new is bad.
Change is bad.
Change is bad. So to wrap this up though, okay, are you guys okay just to follow our existing guideline that we're supportive of this project list, we're supportive of the TIF?
Absolutely.
Okay, yes. So does someone, oh, go ahead, Josh or Russell?
I'm in favor.
Okay, so by unanimous.
Yeah,
very okay.
Cool.
All right. Thanks, John.
Yeah, now I'm going to take off when you guys are done, but invite me back anytime. My office is 15 feet from this room, so I can just stay an extra hour.
No, this is actually
it's all good.
It's very good.
It's all good. I appreciate the work you guys do, and see you around.
Take care.
Wow.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah.
Good to meet you, too.
So, Michael, will you do what you did the last time and maybe send me an email, and I can just include it in the minutes? I mean, here, though, it's nothing very varied. And I think I'm just going to put this number 6 into the next agenda when Shannon's here. I mean, I can give you just 1 second, 10-second overview, but I'm redoing the website, and I was thinking I'd like to get your opinion on, and maybe I could give you some homework too.
You can always email us. Just remember, don't reply. Reply comments.
Maybe I'll BCC you. I've done some R&D, and I kind of have a draft outline to just create a new sort of hub, and I just think it's, you guys could give me a little feedback. And that's just something that, again, it's a business support thing, but it really needs to happen. And then, we can put things like available inventory and the new business licensing and all these. I can show you one example. It looks like Russell took off, but like, for example, can you see the tab still, Josh?
Yep.
It's like something like this is just so nice where it's really clean. And we're the business licensing section. I'm working with one of the planners. We're presenting to John next week, and then we're presenting to finance to just make the process a lot easier. And so something like this, and then, again, available commercial properties. You can find, how to start a business, links to the chamber. And anyhow, but I thought, I'll get the EDC's feedback. Troutdale's bigger than us as well as Tiger, but and then the business support survey results, I'll wait on those. They're interesting, but they're not really, they're more for my work.
And I'll just really go through.
Did Shannon send you?
She sent me this stuff.
Okay, yeah, if you could just spend a few minutes on that.
She wanted me to, Clackamas County has some grants going on, so if anybody was interested, looks like they have like career pathways and expanding workforce training.
Do you know when that money's coming?
She didn't mention that.
Okay.
There's some awarded because like some of it's like over $1 million awarded in this category and stuff. So some of them are in process. So I'm sure there's information on the county's website.
I think I'll put that in one of my newsletters when I get more information, because I sign up this newsletter once or twice a month. But I'm also curious, I had some business owners and also a partner ask about restaurant funding for restaurants. I guess there's a couple that are struggling too. So. I mean, I'm just connected to a lot of the regional partners like Mises, but if you ever have a resource please send it to me.
Well, I will say that the chamber in their newsletter has a link to all the active grants right now.
Oh, okay.
So you just click on it, and it's a spreadsheet of all the grants in Oregon.
Okay.
And it's broken down by some categories too. So I would probably look there. There's hundreds of grants.
Oh, okay. Great. Shatrine and I, too, are going to work on some more collaborative. She's working on a lot of different things, but my goal is to make it a little bit more of an active chamber. And I know she needs support, too, from the city by getting active business license information or active, property stuff. But We can work together too.
But he's, Russell used to be on the board of the chamber.
Oh, okay. So it's gone through a variety of iterations.
It's gone through some issues. I had some.
Is it starting to throw, I mean, it looks, I've only been here 6 months. It seems like there's.
It's getting better.
Yeah.
It's getting better for sure. But they have had a lot of leadership changeover. I mean, they had leadership issues a couple of years ago where they were kind of getting money and not using it properly.
Okay.
So that this group, because this group is responsible for awarding the Clackamas County tourism grants, right? Which we haven't done in a while from COVID, but mm-hmm. we normally every year would award those grants, and we did award a couple grants to the chamber that they never fulfilled. They never used it for what they were for, so they technically kind of owe us several thousand dollars.
Oh, interesting.
It's not us, but it's like the city through that right. grant, right? They're supposed to give it back if they don't use it for what it was supposed to be for. So they had that kind of fiasco a couple of years ago, but I think they're finally got better leadership, that they're getting past that. But I think a lot of people still have some sore spots from that. And so a lot of people are not interested in it.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, I'd like to. Well, we have a good sort of collaboration going, and like I'd like to kind of keep channeling the information that she needs to be successful in the organization, and then also maybe work on, you know, again, an event or two with some of the budget that I have for that. But yeah, for our next meeting, I have to reschedule the November meeting because I'm out of town, but. I'm just thinking ahead. Do you guys want to work on the report at the next meeting then?
I would say, let's bring it, let's look at it, see what's still relevant in it. And
yeah, I mean, I know a lot of it's, again, sort of what I've been working on. But
because yeah. I don't know if we want to lobby for that much money to be spent on a new one, if there's still stuff relevant mm-hmm. that we can use, you know, maybe wait a couple of years or something now.
And then another thought, do you want to look at this budget then a little bit more closely and like where you might want to be involved in some of those projects for next year? Or I guess my question is, it's an opportunity to pose some questions to council. I think we want to do that probably at the next meeting. So,
I would kind of like to print this old EOA. The economic development portion of the comp plan, and then
okay,
maybe that one 2011
yep.
action, and then just, and maybe we do this ahead of time, or it's homework. Maybe
yeah.
that's the November homework, and everyone reads it, and they just bring their bullet points of, hey, this is what for the upcoming year, what I think is important, or even what I liked
mm-hmm.
out of
mm-hmm.
these materials.
Okay.
Or maybe someone's conclusion is we just need a new EOA.
Yeah.
But I think if that was our November homework, then we could come and everyone just brings a bullet point if they have one. I think that would be powerful.
Okay. Maybe I'll scan them into one document, or would you like them separately?
I don't think it matters.
Okay. No, that's actually because I have them all here, and that's my goal, is to get just, again, like more collated on some of these issues. And like I said, when we were talking in the beginning, it's like we've got this council objective and we've got what you recommended to council, and then, you know, what I've been actually working on, and they're not ultimately
aligned.
It's
not the same thing.
And so I also have thoughts, and I'm not there yet, but just about possibly redefining the position to just be either separate or have, you know, so it is clear it's not just, you know, getting bogged down by administration, and that there is somebody actively working on these things directly with you guys on these larger projects. So whether it's a consultant or, I don't know. I mean, I think we're making slow progress by just kind of calling out what's happening, really. I don't know. I appreciate your guys' time, and I'm still learning so much, but I just agree that economic development is a very broad topic, and everybody has a different idea of what it is. I met with an economic development person in Tigard, and you know, it's completely different, his focus, you know, and it's like it's entrepreneurism. It's like working in these certain specific districts, you know, but it's a different area than Wesley.
You should talk to Matt, though, Matt Lorenzen, who's at Wilsonville now.
Okay.
He's a resident of Westland.
Yeah.
So he will have a perspective from.
So he's the new Wilsonville economic
He's the new Wilsonville.
But
he used to be.
He's pretty new, like within the last year.
Yes.
Because there's a guy, Jordan.
Probably 6 months even.
Okay.
What's his last name?
Lorenzen. But he was the economic development director for Estacada for several years.
Okay.
Estacada put out great stuff for as small of a city as they are. They have great economic development content. Like their newsletters. I got more information from their newsletters than, and I signed up because of Matt. Matt used to be on the board.
Oh, okay.
Before he got the job in Estacada. Or actually used to be on Main Street with me.
Yeah,
so
I would really like to either work on these larger things or, you know, deal actively in like business licensing and entrepreneurs. I mean, get help smaller businesses grow and like expand.
Right, so all
and,
of
like,
the, so that
I just can't
stuff.
Do it all very well.
Well, his, like I said, his newsletters were great for me as a small business. It always had all the stuff about grants in there.
Yeah.
And had a lot of content. It had a lot of tourism content. It had great content.
And I don't think it's fine. For some reason, I don't think your email address is getting mine. Have you been opening up mine?
You know what? I get so much junk sometimes.
I think
I got the Main Street one the other day, and I deleted it. And after I deleted it, I was like, oh, wait, I think that was Main Street.
Yeah.
So I go through, I mean, I get thousands of emails.
Yeah. It's great to have over a 50% open rate and then having people. Like I just appreciate the information. Yeah, I sent them a bunch of workshops through SCORE and, you know, just little, like, just resources
yeah,
like that.
Just that's, I think that's the easiest way you can help.
Yeah.
Because everything else is going to be, yeah, we can adjourn. Okay. Everything else is going to be a lot more labor intensive. So I'll
take care, Josh.
7:34.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks,
Josh.
Well, yes,
you have a nice trip.
Thank you. Turning 50 in a couple weeks.
Congratulations.
Can you believe it?
That's exciting.
Why did I just tell the public that?